When President Bush said he authorized eavesdropping without warrants in the United States, he raised as many questions as he answered. The president was responding to a report in the New York Times, which has since said the program was even more widespread than the president acknowledged. What is not clear is exactly why the National Security Agency is conducting the surveillance without warrants. Ever since the 1970s, a secret federal court has been empowered to review evidence and permit surveillance within the law. One person who's looking at the clues is Timothy Naftali, who's written about intelligence matters. To understand what the NSA is doing, he starts by trying to understand the problem that the government would be trying to solve.
If you accept, and I do, that there is a possibility of Al-Qaeda or its affiliates having cells in this country, how do you monitor these people if they're changing their cell phones, if they're moving from computer to computer? How do you do that?
The Patriot Act appeared to address that very problem.
No, it didn't.
Made it possible to give a warrant that will follow an individual from one telephone number to
another. What if you don't know the individual, Steve? What if you're looking for patterns of behavior? What if you don't know the individual's name?
What if you don't know the number? How do you follow one person around when they're going into Walmart and buying a cell phone?
You don't follow one person around. What you do is you listen to conversations.
You mean you listen to a million random conversations to hear this guy?
The White House is saying that it is very careful not to listen to point-to-point conversations in the United States, from one point of the United States to another. But there is a way through data mining to analyze where calls originate and where they go. This is basically an attempt to look for patterns, use of words, length of telephone calls, length of email, frequency of these communications, both voice and data, and then to look for suspicious patterns. And how do you define a suspicious? I don't know. But the now Deputy Director of National Intelligence, Michael Hayden, has talked about there being a subtle, soft trigger. The computer learns what's suspicious. And then it will act on its own. So what we're talking about is a higher order, a smarter Google, if you will.
It matters a lot where the phone call is made to and from, right? Whether it's inside the United States or outside the United States. How do you judge that question when it's an email that might bounce around the world, end up in a server in London on its way to San Francisco?
Well, that question is the reason why I'm not convinced that the NSA is only looking at data transmissions that leave the country.
Because you're saying that the NSA can't necessarily know if the email that's cranking through this system that we presume it has is originating outside the United States or going outside the United States.
Doesn't take great technological sophistication to bounce emails around to hide where you're sending them and where they're coming from.
I'm looking now at this letter from Senator Jay Rockefeller, the senior Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee. He wrote a letter in 2003, handwritten letter, essentially recording what he'd been told about the program. And in the process of this, he says, I was told about this program. Then I got more concerned. I'm paraphrasing. It reminded me, he says, in effect, of John Poindexter's TIA project. What is that?
This was a data mining project that was designed to develop an understanding about sort of suspicious activity.
Poindexter is a former White House official.
Former National Security Advisor.
We can assume that whatever the NSA was doing is similar. At least it was similar in the mind of Jay Rockefeller, who was briefed on the NSA program.
Of course. In preparing the new President Bush, the National Security Agency produced a transition document where the National Security Agency is teeing up this question for the new administration. It's not talking about data mining, but it's talking about the inability of the current legislative framework to deal with the kinds of data gathering that the NSA is going to have to do now and in the near future.
Does the fact that the administration went outside the system provide further clues as to exactly what they may have been doing?
Certainly. When this first leaked, it looked as if the administration had a certain number of problem cases, a few hundred, that didn't fit in the FISA system. But as we learn more, it became apparent that you have a program that is generating hits, some of which are U.S. persons.
You're supposed to get a warrant before
To get a warrant. How do you sustain those investigations under the law when the law is designed to deal with identified suspects? That's the challenge.
This has been a mystery to some people. How can we be talking about current law being outdated when the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, by all available evidence, has nearly always granted warrants when asked? Doesn't seem like that high a bar.
It's not a high bar at all if you know the name of the individual. But again, what if you're looking for suspicious data transmissions?
If you're just looking for these patterns, you can't even ask for a warrant.
I don't think so. I don't think the law is designed for that.
Mr. Naftali, thanks very much.
My pleasure, Steve.
Timothy Naftali is author of Blind Spot, A Secret History of American Counterterrorism. If you'd like to read the National Security Agency transition document, as well as Senator Rockefeller's handwritten letter to the vice president, you can find them both by going to our website, npr.org.